Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Six Republicans in the state Senate have announced that they're planning to form a minority caucus. That would be enough to guarantee conservative seats on legislative committees and expand the staff they're able to hire. The minority is calling itself the Senate Republican Caucus and will be led by Wasilla Senator Mike Schauer. It'll be the first time since 2022 that the Senate has a recognized minority. The three senators not in the majority over the past 2 years were short of the five-member threshold to guarantee committee appointments. Schauer was a member of the smaller group, and he says he's glad to have some more support.
We were effectively silenced, no resources, no press. Now we have all of that. So now we're going to have two members on finance. We're going to have two members on resources. We're going to have members in every other committee. So the voice will come back on the conservative side of things with the Republican priorities.
In a news release, Schauer said he hoped to, quote, empower the private sector to drive growth, streamline government to better serve Alaskans, and deliver a budget that is both balanced and sustainable, unquote. Because the Democrat-heavy House majority sits at the bare minimum of 21 and Governor Dunleavy has typically been aligned with conservatives, Schauer says he's optimistic they'll be able to pull the legislature to the right. The six-member all-Republican minority leaves a total of 14 in the majority caucus. That's five Republicans and nine Democrats. The expansion of the minority comes after two prior Republican members of the bipartisan majority caucus lost their seats following this year's election. David Wilson lost to Senator-elect Rob Yunt in Wasilla, and Senator-elect Mike Kronk won a seat representing a large portion of the interior after incumbent Click Bishop declined to seek re-election. The majority also brought over a Republican who had previously caucused with the bipartisan majority, Anchorage Senator James Kaufman. Schauer says the minority caucus senators plan to hold a retreat before the session begins in January to work out committee assignments and legislative priorities. A recount is underway in Juneau on the closely contested ballot measure that would have repealed Alaska's open primaries and ranked choice voting. Official results certified on Saturday have ballot measure 2 failing by 737 votes, just about 0.2% of all votes cast. The Alaska Republican Party requested the recount, which is being performed at the state's expense since the final margin was less than half a percentage point. During the recount, Division of Elections employees will rescan the more than 340,000 votes cast across the state. Roughly 45,000 were scanned by early Monday afternoon, says Division Director Carol Beecher.
So we take the ballots out of the different envelopes, and each scanner is programmed a certain way, and we start scanning all of the ballots, and then they go onto a server. And then from the server, they're fed into these computers that we have in the what we're calling the adjudication room.
In the adjudication room, big screen TVs display scans of ballots that might be ambiguous. The observers, including lawyers for the Republican Party and the No on 2 campaign, then have the opportunity to challenge Beecher's ruling. Those ballot images are flagged and set aside for possible court challenges. The ballots that are adjudicated are themselves a small fraction of the overall total, and Beecher says the challenge ballots are an even smaller slice of that sum.
There are very few that are challenged. It's usually something where it's the person has marked both ovals and has done some kind of a mark on it, and then we've tried to discern what the intent of the voter was. Did they want that one to count because they extra marked it or didn't want to? Sometimes they initial it, sometimes they say no, it's a variety.
The state has 10 days to complete the recount, though Beecher says they hope to finish sooner. Until then, elections officials will continue scanning ballots 12 hours a day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And there are expected to be a lot fewer people in Southeast Alaska by 2050. Researchers in a recent report anticipate the population to dwindle by nearly a fifth. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, that could have adverse impacts on the region's workforce and economy.
Millions of visitors flock to Southeast Alaska tourism hubs like Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka every summer. But when the cruise ship season comes to a close, it gets pretty quiet. Each town has a relatively small year-round population compared to the number of people who visit them. But soon, those populations are projected to get much, much smaller. According to a recent report by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development, Southeast Alaska's overall population is projected to drop by about 17% by 2050, or roughly 12,000 people. That's about the populations of Sitka and Wrangell combined. Compare that to Alaska's overall population, which is projected to drop by 2%.
Without in-migration, we cannot sustain our population.
That's Brian Holst, the executive director of the Juneau Economic Development Council. The total population of Southeast Alaska is roughly 71,000, close to half living in the capital city.
People are choosing to live elsewhere. We think in large part because for all the attractiveness of Juneau to many families, the price of a home and the cost of being here is just too much of a challenge.
Southeast Alaska relies on its year-round residents for a lot of things, like the tourism industry, fisheries, and state jobs. According to the study, the loss in population comes from a mixture of increased out-migration and deaths outnumbering births in the region. Because while Southeast Alaska's population grows smaller, it's also growing older. It's actually older than most of the state. According to a 2024 report by the Juneau Economic Development Council, the over 60 population in Juneau outnumbers the under 20 population. Now, fewer people in the region equals a smaller workforce, less young people going to schools, and fewer people to care for the aging population. The Juneau School District has already been grappling with declining enrollment for decades. There are just simply fewer students to fill the schools than there were a few decades ago. Here's Juneau School Board member Emil Mackey.
When you have inadequate transportation in Southeast Alaska and you have inadequate school funding, you really eliminate two of the biggest incentives for young people to stay in Alaska.
At the start of the school year, Juneau's high schools and middle schools consolidated. It was a decision made by the board in part to address the dwindling number of students. Mackey says if the younger population continues to decline, elementary school closures could be next.
No matter how many kids we have the same infrastructure costs. It costs the same to heat a building if there's one student or 300 students in it. And so I would believe, yes, future closures would have to be necessary.
More people simply need to move here, Hull says. That's hard to do, though, as Juneau isn't building housing fast enough to meet its changing demographics. And the cost of living and rent continues to rise.
It comes down to the cost of living. So while you can have a job, does it pay enough to be able to afford Juneau's high cost of living? And more specifically, housing or housing costs. Our housing costs continue to be very high for young people in particular, really hard to make ends meet here in Juneau.
But Hull says these are just projections, and there's still time to reverse course. The projections are based on the last several years of population trends.
I see the glass half full here. I think we have challenges ahead of us, but there are things that we could do to make our community a little bit more affordable.
He says that includes things like building more affordable housing and supporting childcare, which the City and Borough of Juneau has been prioritizing. And on a positive note, according to the state's study, wages in Southeast Alaska communities rose the most in the state in 2023. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And Coast Guard-based Kodiak's Child Development Center has faced major staffing issues this year that nearly led to the daycare's closure. Officials have figured out a temporary solution. But as KMXT's Brian Vanwell reports, it's just one hurdle to jump as more service members arriving in the next few years could put more pressure on the center.
The Child Care Center announced in October that it might close temporarily because its three most critical admin positions were vacant. Captain Jeremy Hall, base Kodiak's commanding officer, says he wanted people to know a closure was on the table.
In order to maintain our trust and interaction with the community, we wanted to focus on transparency. So as soon as it became apparent that there could be an issue, we started notifying folks.
In order to stay open as a credentialed daycare, the center needs at least one director, assistant director, or training and curriculum specialist.
But I'm happy to report that it doesn't look like we're going to close the center or even diminish our services. We've come up with a pretty good plan.
Hull worked with Coast Guard headquarters in Washington, D.C. to bring in interim staff while he looked for a long-term solution, and a permanent curriculum specialist arrived in November. As long as the new hire works out, the Child Development Center will stay open indefinitely. It's a huge relief for Hull and the families with kids enrolled, but it's not the ultimate solution. The base still needs to fill its director positions and several child specialist positions. The lack of staff means that while the daycare center is supposed to serve up to 100 kids, it can only take half as many. That's even after disenrolling kids from a dozen families on the island due to staffing issues this summer. There's a long wait list, too, and that's before the Coast Guard's presence on the island grows substantially. About 200 new service members are expected to come to Kodiak as part of a major expansion that includes more cutters and a larger air station in the next 2 years. The Coast Guard is also building a bigger daycare center as part of that expansion, too. One of the newer arrivals is Madeline Schwarz. Her husband is here to serve on one of the new fast response cutters on its way to the island in the next year.
We are really enjoying Kodiak overall, minus our childcare concerns and struggles.
Her kid has been on the waitlist for about a year. The plan was to have a spot at the center around the time she and her husband arrived in May, but it didn't end up working out. the situation led to some problems for the family. Schwartz lined up a job as a nurse, but ended up having to push back her start date. She and her husband have flown family all the way from Virginia and North Carolina to help, or has friends babysit, but it's not ideal.
Here, a licensed daycare facility is significantly more cost-effective than flying out family, especially to Kodiak, as well as provide, you know, a 40-hour week babysitting nanny kind of job.
Schwartz even started a petition where parents basically agreed to pay more for the daycare if it meant increasing worker salaries as a way to attract more people to work there. Hall says it's not that simple and couldn't comment on how the government decides wages. He did say that he appreciates how invested people are in the Child Development Center, though.
It was good that people were interested in trying to help. I take that as a sign that the Coast Guard community as well as the Kodiak community are interested in the success of the Kodiak CDC. And so we want it to be successful, and so we're going to look for any and every opportunity we can to make it better.
Hall says he hopes he can advertise better and hire enough people so they can fully take advantage of the new space that's currently under construction. He says the center built a reputation as a tough place to work, but is trying to improve everything he can.
We're also working on the quality of the work life and the work life balance for the employees there, making sure they get time off, making sure they get breaks, making sure they get all the things they need to feel like they're a valued employee.
While there's some short-term struggles, he says the long-term goal is to minimize pressure on civilian child care centers as the Coast Guard expands its presence on the island. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 43 degrees and overcast. And a flood watch remains in effect until tomorrow morning. Another storm front will move across the area tonight with more moderate to heavy rain. And with all that snow on the ground, there's a chance that there'll be more pooling on roads. And rain is on the forecast for the next few days. Friday night, it might clear up a bit, and temperatures are between the high 30s and the mid 40s. You're listening to KTOO.